This is the BBC Home Service. Bandwagon presented by Harry S. Pepper and Gordon Cryer.
I wish we could find a new way of starting this show besides you saying that.
No, stop it, Big. We had all that out last week.
Yes, but you must admit it gets a bit umdrum.
Aye, proper umdrum.
Aye, it's really umdrum. We had that out last week too, yeah. Didn't we?
Well, let's tell them the joke about old Nasty's father and mother.
No, the censor had that out this morning, if I remember rightly.
Oh, yes. In any case, Big, remember what we agreed? We were going to give old Nasty a rest this week and talk about something else for a change.
Yes, but you feel you'd like to say something about him, you know. He's pinched a lot of our publicity, hasn't he? I mean, he's had his name in the paper every day this week.
Anyway, Mrs. Bagwash isn't worried about him.
Oh, she doesn't care a hoot. She said to me this morning, it's no good them Germans sitting up in those balloons over London trying to frighten us because they can't.
By the way, Big, who was the gentleman who came to the flat just as we were coming down to broadcast?
Oh, that was the gentleman from the town hall. He said he called for the form that he left last Tuesday.
What form?
Well, the application form for the international refrigeration thing.
You mean the national registration?
That's right.
Did you give it to him?
Oh, no, I told him he didn't want to join.
No, you silly little man. We've got to fill that in.
Why?
Well, if we don't, we'll be liable to a penalty. You know what a penalty is, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, it's when a member of one side kicks his own behind.
Oh, is that right? So, that's a corner kick. This is a penalty. Now do you understand?
Yes.
Well, what?
Well, a penalty. If you don't fill up this form, the gentleman comes up to our flat with a football, and when we open the door, he has a free kick at the ball, and we're not allowed to stop it.
Now, I think you're being rather silly.
Oh, well, the money's all right. I should worry.
Listen, have you got the form on you?
Yes.
Where is it?
I've got it in the lining of my bowler.
What on earth did you put it in there for?
Well, you told me if we got anything that looked official to keep it under my hat.
Take your hat off. I've told you before how silly you look broadcasting in a bowler.
It's better than televising in a trilby.
Well, come on, let's have a look at it. Oh, isn't it long?
Well, it's like the certificate I got when I passed my intermediate examination for the pianoforte.
Hmm.
I got 110 marks.
They only give you 100?
Well, I did cross hands twice.
Did you? Yeah. Come on, Ben. Let's have a look at this form.
Here you are.
It's got to be filled in by the head of the household. Oh, that's me.
Now, don't be silly. I'm older than you are.
Ah, but I'm the tallest.
Tallest?
Yeah.
Taller? I tall, you tall. Elzon.
Don't lark about me. To save trouble, we both fill it in.
All right, well, we go in alphabetical order, and I'll go first.
Right you are. They filled in the address for us, Top Flat Broadcasting House.
Yeah, what's this? Description of premises. What shall I put, clean?
No. It doesn't mean that. It means how would you describe our flat?
Well, I should say it was proper umdrum.
Well, put it down.
All right, proper umdrum.
Right. Pen's a bit scratchy, isn't it, Big?
Well, it's never been the same since I lent it to Norcia to pluck at eyebrows.
Big, you can't spell proper.
Well, it's the only word I can't spell.
What do you mean?
Well, when I was at school, teacher always said I couldn't spell proper.
There's another mistake you made. You put an H in umdrum.
I better cross it out and start again.
Right.
Oh?
There, you've made a blot.
Oh, well, I'll make it into a little man, shall I?
Right, you are.
Look, there's his arms and there's his legs.
That's all very well, but there's no more room on that line now.
Yeah, well, I better rub it out and start again.
You got a rubber?
No, I never have a rubber. Even when I was at school, I never had a rubber.
What did you use?
I used the little boys that sat in front of me.
Well, let's scratch it out with a penknife. Here you are. Oh, scratch it out. Oh, you've made a hole in the paper now.
Well, I don't suppose it'll matter. The gentleman will think description of premises vacant.
Oh, that's right. Well, what's the next question?
Well, surname and other names. I'll put mine first. A-R...
R?
Yes, Arthur.
No, it's surname first.
Oh,
ask it.
I see. I'll have to make that R into an S, won't I?
All right. Press Alt.
All right. Whoa, blow, I've made a blot again. I'll have to turn it into another little man. There's his eyes.
That's a good one. This is a jolly good one. He just needs a couple of strings on his hat and it'll look like the bishop.
Oh, don't be a silly tall man. Well, now, listen, I'll start again on the next line. Askey, A-S-K-E-Y. Now then, my Christian name, Arthur. I just put Artie for short.
Yes,
see? A-R-T-Y, Artie.
Saves a bit of time. Haven't you got another Christian name?
Well, I believe I have.
Surely you know?
Well, as a matter of fact, I couldn't get to my christening.
Why not?
Well, somebody had to look after the shop. Oh. But, when my mother and father and uncle and aunties came back, Father said, we've christened you Arthur. Asking.
But what are the initials on your pencil box? A-M-A.
Well, that's it. Arthur Mafeking Askey.
Why, they call you Mafeking?
Because I was born on the day after the Battle of Trafalgar.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll fill in my names now. I refuse to write the middle one. I'll just put Richard E. Murdoch.
You've got to fill in your middle name. What is it?
I'm not even going to tell you.
Why not?
Well, you lonely lie.
No, I won't. Now, see this wet, see this dry. Cut me throat, tell a lie. Go on, tell us what it is.
Oh, well, all right. It's Ethel.
No!
Big. What are you crying for? Oh. You're going to have one of your nasty turns.
I promise not to laugh, and I've got to do something when I find my best friend's name's Ethel. Whatever made them call you that?
Well, it's rather a strange story. You see, my uncle was walking along with a friend of his, you see, and this man suddenly went... You see? And my uncle said, what on earth did you do that for? And his friend said, I'm awfully sorry, I thought it was Thursday, and that's how I was called Ethel.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Richard E. Murdoch.
You wrote that quickly, didn't you?
Well, we got to give the band a chance. Spoiled that one, didn't
I? Yeah, I know, you thought the joke would go better. Yes. Well, never mind. Now, here's the next column.
Sex,
yes.
You know what sex is?
It's what Sandy McPherson says when he means half a dozen, isn't it?
No, it isn't. Oh. It means whether you're a boy or a girl.
You could have a bit of trouble with your name, haven't you?
Oh, don't be silly. Put M for yourself and ditto for me.
Okay, M for me, M, and D-I-T-T-O. Oh, I've made another blot.
Looks like blotto now.
Yeah, well, don't let's bother. I'll turn it into another little man.
See? Now, birthday, day and month.
Well, I was born on a Tuesday.
Month?
June. When was yours?
Awkward for me because I was born on Tuesday at midnight.
Oh, well, put Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's a good idea, yeah.
What month?
Month after May.
Month after May. Work it out. January, August, November, May, October.
That's right. October. Put down October, yeah.
Oh, you haven't made a blot this time, Dickie.
Well, I'll soon fix that. There you are. It's that little man again. Now then, year of birth.
Oh, that's easy for me. I was born on the day after the Battle of Trafalgar.
That was 1805. Right,
1805. What year were you born in?
Well, I'm going to put that down. I don't want the gentleman at the town hall going round telling everybody.
That's right. Just put find out.
Right.
That's the idea.
Now then, next column, condition as to marriage.
Well, I'll put nobbled by nausea.
And I'll put... I'll put offers in biting.
Yeah, I don't suppose it'll matter. Anyway, I expect the whole thing's a swindle. I don't suppose they give a prize in any case.
Now, but you mustn't grumble at a time like this. We've got to be patriotic.
Yes.
After all, that's why we wrote that song, isn't
it? Oh, yes, and I believe we've got something there, Stinker, because it's certainly original.
It is original. Let's say the words to the playmates.
All right, now listen, playmates. Get a load of this. This is our patriotic song.
Fasten up your worries in your old portmanteau and grin. Grin.
Is it? Your turn.
It's a long way to Connemara, so turn the dark clouds in. Keep the gas fires roaring for every Tommy and Jack.
There's a long, long winder trailing
till the boys come back.
We hang on.
And now here's Jack Hilton and his band to play you a silly tune called Pecking with the Penguins.
We'll be right back.
gentlemen. Once again, Bandwagon brazenly presents Chestnut Corner. All the things we come out with. My wife's a decided blonde.
I know, I was with her when she decided. Excuse me, sir, but can you spare me a shilling for a cup of coffee?
Shilling? That's a lot for a cup of coffee, isn't it?
Listen, are you trying to tell me how to run my business?
What could be nicer than a nightingale in a tree?
A lark in a field.
How did you lose your hair?
Worry?
What did you worry about?
Losing my hair.
How are you getting on in your new house?
Oh, fine. I furnished one room by collecting coupons out of soap packets.
That's a grand idea. Why not furnish all the other rooms in the same way?
I can't.
Why not?
They're full of soap. My uncle plays the accordion every night and cries like a baby.
Why, does he play sad music?
No, the accordion keeps pinching his stomach.
You do look pale. Are you a poor sailor?
No, I'm a rich stockbroker. No, I've come to change my name.
That'll be an expensive business. What is your name?
Harry Smells.
Ooh, I'm not surprised. What do you want to change it to?
Charlie Smells.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes Chestnut Corner for this evening. Later on, we hope to bring you some even better old jokes. Meanwhile, carry on, Bandwagon.
And now Dolly Elsie joins Jack Hilton and his band in Don't Worry About Me. Here's your old China Sid Walker once again, still seeing it through.
Goody evening, chaps. Yes, this is your old pal Sid Walker, or what's left of him. Lord love a duck, but I didn't half bump into it last week with some of my shopkeeper pals. All through telling you about my pal Tom and his tin of salmon, remember? Some of them got very shirty, some of them didn't, and they told me off properly. Shit, I wasn't fair to the little shopkeeper, but I don't think they're quite fair to me, chum. Straight I don't, because I told Tom that prices was bound to rise and explained to him about war risk insurance and other difficulties that the small shopkeeper had to face, and I finished up by saying as though he'd have to look a bit further than the small shopkeeper before he shouted profit here. Now, didn't I? Can't be fairer than that. And some of my shopkeeper pals has written to say I should think before I talk. Well, I think that some of them should listen before they write. Now, that brings me to what I'm going to tell you about this week. It so happens I was wandering along my beat one afternoon and I bumped into a little woman, a widow she is. I've known her for some years. Very nice, sensible body too, as a rule. I stopped to pass the time of day and we stand chatting for a bit on the corner of the street.
Everything will be all right in the end, but it's very worrying for us all, Mr. Walker. Very worrying.
Well, don't let it get you down, Mrs.
Well, I try not to, but today's news is very disquieting, very.
Oh, what's that?
Haven't you heard? The Germans have sunk the Rodney.
Lummy.
Yes, it was taken by surprise in the North Sea. Fortunately, some destroyers, or whatever they're called, came along and were able to pick up most of the crew, but a lot of the poor fellows aren't accounted for, and the ship went straight to the bottom. Straight to the bottom.
Yes, but you don't want to believe all you hear. I mean, a lot of it's just rumour, you know.
Oh, I have this on the best authority. A friend of mine.
Well, the old girl and I eventually go our separate ways. Me not knowing what to feel about it all, because, well, if the story was true, it's not a nice thing to happen at all. And on the way back to the station, I buy an evening paper, and as soon as I've reported and hung up my helmet, I pops across the road into the park to have a breath of fresh air and see if I can find anything about the Rodney going down. I park myself on a bench near the gate and start searching through the news when a little fella in a bowler hat and glasses sits down beside me and he begins to do the same thing. Nothing there. Not much news tonight, chum, eh? Things seem to be about the same, eh?
I'm glad you think so. Haven't you heard?
What?
The Germans have sunk the Rodney.
Truth.
Yes, and four other ships of the same class with her, taken by surprise in the North Sea. One or two men were picked up by destroyers, I believe, but the majority perished.
Is there anything in your paper about it?
No. The government are keeping the whole thing very quiet. Bad for the morale of the people that such stories should get about.
Sounds nasty. Anyway, it may only be a rumour.
My good man, I'm not in the habit of spreading rumours. I have it on the best authority from a friend of mine who...
So off scarpers the little fella in a fair huff. Well, chums, by this time yours truly is feeling in the need of a bit of cheering up. So I decide on a little place I know of where I can get a pint and some bread and cheese and most likely meet one or two of the boys. I make my way there, and sure enough, there's an old china of mine, an Irishman. He is named Michael Patterson. And very glad I am to see him, because there's very few better blokes to be with when you're feeling downhearted than old Mike. Good evening, Mike. What do you have?
Evening, Sid. Bitter.
Two bitters, miss.
Two bitters. All right.
What's the matter with you, Mike? Come on, cheer up. The war will soon be over.
It's over now.
Eh?
Haven't you heard?
What?
They've sunk the home fleet.
What?
The whole lot, including the Rodney, taken by surprise in the North Sea. Some of the lads got picked up by destroyers, but they can't have saved many of them.
There's nothing in the papers, Mike.
There will be. Only happened this afternoon. I met a chap on my way here who's heard on the best authority from a pal of his who knows.
Well, Chalmers, now what do you make of that? The same story three times, practically word for word. Only the first time it's the Rodney, the second time four cruisers and the Rodney, and in old Mike's version, the Rodney and the old home fleet. There's something wrong somewhere, and I had to find out what it was, or I wasn't going to sleep that night. But how? All of a sudden, I thought of a peacetime client of mine. He's a clerk or something in the Admiralty. We often have a pipe together, we do, so I squeeze myself into a telephone box, and I have two penneth. Well, he tells me that, of course, he can't give me any information about what actually has happened till the news has been through the mill, like, but he can tell me that the home fleet, including the Rodney, are still afloat and doing fine. Go to bed and don't worry, Sidney, he says. You'll understand how it happened when you read your morning paper. Well, I was up with the lark in the morning. The first thing I do is grab a paper. And what do you think, chums? They've sunk a little freighter. And her captain, who'd luckily been saved by a destroyer with all his crew, was named Rodney. See? Somebody gets the wrong end of the stick and starts passing the word round. Just like that kids' game we used to play, you know, passing messages. And the story gets twisted round, and before you know where you are, there's Mike telling me how the home fleet's at the bottom of the sea. Sounds funny, as I've told it to you, chums, but, well, it ain't really funny. You see, big ships has big crews, and those crews has relations. Wives, mothers, sisters. And when they hear these rumours, it causes a lot of unnecessary doubt and misery. Shortage of news does give rise to stories, but don't believe everything you hear. And above all, don't repeat it. Because you never know who may be listening, or what the rumours may lead to. Oh, so long, chums. See you next week. Let me, I do run into some things, don't I?
And now Jack Hilton and his band will play a concert arrangement of an old favorite, which will be sung by Denny Dennis, Penny Serenade.
Once I strayed neath the window of a lovely senorita, and she smiled while I softly played my penny serenade. Si, 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 you can hear it for a penny. Just a penny serenade. In her eyes shone the tender dawn of love and sweet surrender. As for me, in my heart I played a lover's serenade. See, 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 hear my love song for a penny. See, 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 just a penny serenade. For that night so divine she was mine, though no word had been spoken. When I woke from my dream she was gone and my poor heart was broken. Till I pray that wherever she may be, she will remember in her heart. She will always hear my penny serenade. See, 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 that's my love song for a penny. See, 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 just a penny serenade. Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen. Strange as it may seem, the boys are no longer in the studio. They've gone up to that flat. So let's go up and see what they're up to.
BBC. Oh, they want you for a penny.
Oh, blow.
It's no use sitting there sulking, Big. Everybody else is putting on a bold front and don't say yours is at the launch.
Oh, but it's so humdrum, isn't it?
Oh, well, switch on the wireless.
Well, you know the wireless is not working so well since they cut the electricity off and we're working it by gas.
Well, see what's on.
I will repeat the description of the man the police are anxious to interview. Hair brown, eyes blue, average height, average weight. Dressed in coat, waistcoat, and trousers with shoes to match. Average. Will anyone who has seen a man answering this description please communicate with the Chief Constable, Police Station, Rory-on-the-Moor, Manx. Telephone number, Little Wobbleswick, 2OY.
Doesn't that announcer sound like Gordon Cryer?
Anyway, switch
Gordon
it on.
Gordon Cryer half laughing.
That's it. Switch it up. Wait a minute. That what? Description's very like the man we saw in the sweet shop this morning.
Which one?
Oh, don't you remember? We said good morning and he said, I don't know, I'm a stranger in these parts.
Oh, yes. That was suspicious to start with, wasn't it?
We must go and tell the police.
Well, can't we telephone them?
No, it'd be too expensive. It's tuppence in London, so it'd cost at least threepence to telephone to Lancashire. Have you got threepence?
No.
Well, then we'll have to go there.
Well, how can we get there?
Well, John Watt said we can have his car any time we like, now that he hasn't got any petrol.
Oh, well, how can we take his car if we haven't got any petrol?
Well, this is our chance to use our brains. I figure out that if we put the back wheels on the pavement and the front wheels on the road, the car's always going downhill, so we can get there that way.
Oh, yes. Like you do with your bike when you get tired.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I've just been reading an article in the paper. What does it say? Here it is. How coal can replace petrol.
Coal?
Yeah.
Oh, I get the idea.
What?
Well, you get a sack of coal in your car and you go to the nearest petrol station and you say to the garage proprietor, I want 5 gallons of petrol. And he naturally says, no, I won't give you any without your coupons. So you undo the sack of coal and throw pieces at him till he gives you some. Is that it?
Of course, that's just childish.
Oh.
I'll read you what it says in the paper. After years of research, it's now an established fact that coal gas can be utilized as a means of supplying motive power to vehicles.
Oh, well, that's all Greek to me.
Well, it means that they're going to use coal instead of petrol.
Well, should we try and make some of this stuff?
We haven't got any coal.
Oh, well, we can go down to the railway and pull faces at the engine drivers.
We better not go down there. Remember what the signalman said last time he caught us playing last across on the level crossing?
Oh, yeah. I can remember what he said. I wouldn't like to repeat it. I'll tell you what, Stinker. Let's go and borrow a bit of coal from Stuart Hibbert.
That's an idea. He's sure to be in. He's still doing that imposition.
I must say ballroom orchestra, not bathroom orchestra. Oh, yes. Well, let's go along and see the old announcer.
Do you think we know him well enough to call him Stuart?
Oh, yes. After all, we call Sir Walter Davis Wally.
We do, don't we?
Yes.
There's his flat. Go on, knock.
Two knocks and ask for Stuart.
Shh. There he is. Now, be nice and friendly. Call him Stuart.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Hibbert.
We were wondering if you could lend us a scuttle full of coal.
Yeah, a scuttle as well. It's turned out nice, hasn't it?
Stop it, Big. Mr. Hibbert, could you lend us some coal?
Oh, what a pity. I always think a coal fire is so much more homely.
Yeah. Of course you would, Miss Hibbert, but if you haven't any, you haven't, and that's all there is to it.
Good night, Mr. Hibbert.
Good night.
Good night.
He's talking quieter than ever, isn't he, Big?
Yeah. Didn't you notice he was in his stocking feet?
Oh, that accounts for it.
A toe in the hole.
Come on, let's get back to our little nest.
I wonder where we can get a piece of coal.
We only want a little bit.
That's right.
A couple of lumps of coal would make acres of gas.
You don't have acres of gas, Dickie. You have meters full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait a minute. We have got a couple of lumps.
Where?
In the... Don't you remember? When we wanted to make a rock garden in the window box, we used a couple of lumps of coal for that.
So we did. Let's open the window and get them.
Right. Why, say, look at the state of this garden.
And we're paying old Middleton tenpence an hour to look after it.
All the chrysanthemums, they're not giving our dandelions a chance.
Well, here's the two pieces of coal. Pick them up.
All right, I've got them.
I say, what's that fella down there shouting to us?
Oh? Oh, all right. Come in.
Yeah, what did you do that for? Wasting our coal.
Well, he said throw something black out.
He didn't. What do you say? He says you knocked his pipe out. Oh. Should we throw him a box of matches?
No, he said put your light out.
Oh, I forgot about the blackout. Quick. Oh, quick, close the window.
All right. There we are. Come on, what about making some of this stuff to make the car?
Well, how do you think we'd better go about it?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to boil it in the kettle with some water and catch the gas as it comes out of the spout.
Now, that's a jolly good idea. But these two lumps are too big to go in the kettle. I know, we'll put them through the Mensa.
Right. But how are we going to catch the gas coming out of the spout?
Well, I've got it all worked out. You know the gas rises, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll put my bowler hat over the spout and catch some as it comes out, you see?
Yeah.
And then I'll jam my hat on my head, and then we've got some.
Yeah. But what are you going to do with it? Because that won't be enough.
Well, we'll turn the bath upside down and put the plug in from the bottom upwards.
Yes.
And then I'll get underneath the bath with my hat on, you see, and I'll take it off when I'm inside and I'll say, "Okay, stinker." And you lift up the bath and I'll crawl out.
We'll have to do it jolly quickly.
Oh, no, the gas is sticking to the top of the bath.
You know, I wonder somebody didn't think of this before.
Yes.
But when we get the bath full of gas, how are we going to draw it out?
Oh, time enough to worry about that when we've got it in.
Yeah, I see. Well, when we've got it out, how are we going to get it in the petrol tank?
Well, I've got an idea. We'll put it in through the exhaust pipe.
But how will it get into the engine?
Oh, let it find its own way. After all, what goes up must come down. With a Floyd Floyd.
Yes.
Yes.
But won't it make the car go backwards?
Oh, that'll be all right. We'll wear our caps with a peak at the back.
That's a jolly good idea.
Yes.
Now, come on, let's make this stuff. Where's the kettle?
Here it is, on the piano. Sorry, in the piano.
Now, come on, switch on the gas.
No, that's gas. Why, that's what we've been trying to make.
Oh, how stupid. We'd better collect some.
Yes.
Here's a bolster case. Now, hold it over the gas ring.
All right, I'll do it. Hold tanks, hold tanks, hold tanks. By golly, Stinker, it's filling up quickly, isn't it? You better go and get another bolster case.
All right, Big.
Hurry up, Dickie. This case is nearly full. I can hardly hold it. Quick, quick, Dickie!
Well, here's the other case. Where are you, Arthur?
Here I am, up on the ceiling.
No. Don't lark about. Come down at once.
Well, how can I?
Well, I'll catch hold of your legs and pull you down.
Well, hurry up. It's proper humdrum up here.
All right. Hold on to the gas, Bert.
Whoa, you tore my trousers off.
Big, it's time you put on your thick com.
This is no time to talk about clothes. Get me down.
I know. All right. I'll throw a dart at the bag and puncture it. Here it comes.
Oh, I wish I hadn't got my thick comms on.
Sorry. Here comes another one.
Basement, please. Oh, what's wrong with our bicycles anyway?
Without a car, life may seem very grim. But blame old Nas, see, it's because of him. And there you are. You keep your figures slim without a car.
For their last number tonight, Jack Hilton and his band are going to play an arrangement by Artie Shaw of Tarble Doach. Thank you.
even if I'm not very clever. But only cause I've got to be. I've scratched and scratched and scratched and scratched and chopped and scratched and scratched and climbed. Well, I think it's kind of too fun that it's time. They got it on the day for me. They got it on the last day.
That's a... Hey, y'all. That's a special verse for Chinese listeners. You'll have to choose that playmate. Well, anyway, I'm on the wrong page. Oh, no, I'm all right. Now, listen, I'm going to give you rather a recital this evening, playmate, so in case any of you have switched off by the time I've finished, I'll take this opportunity of bidding you good night while we're friends. Good night, Granny dear. Good night. Sleep well. Pleasant dreams. Good night, you grumbling old faggot. Well, now, Well, now we've got rid of Grandma, playmates, here's my first little effort. It's a love song to old Nasty. We said we weren't going to mention him, but he's been in all night again. But anyway, just to show him that somebody cares, I mustn't say too much about him, you know. I've just heard he started a fan club for me in Berlin. But anyway, this is my little song.
To adult with love, I'm sending this little bouquet. A bomb or two. Some leaflets to Adolf with love. A bunch of barbed wire that I hope will get in his head. And kind regards from our Jackdaws to Adolf with love. You've taken all our football pools. It makes us sad. But still we have the RAF to make you go mad. So till one fine morn, when Nemesis knocks at your door, take this bouquet, a raspberry from Arthur with love.
Who is this Denny Dennis anyway? What are you doing?
It's not fair. He's got a cold tonight. Well, anyway, if old Nasty happens to be listening, there's another verse to that. They wouldn't let me sing it, and I'm not surprised. Well, anyway, of course you heard he was in the front line in Poland the other day, didn't you? Well, that was an accident, you know. He was trying to get away as far as he could from the Western Front, and he got so far behind, he found himself in the front line in Poland. And, of course, poor old Goering's in an awful mess. He's so fat, he's nearly on the front on both sides. But, well, anyway, playmates, I'm going to sing you this week a little song that I'm going to sing in the film of Bandwagon that we're making at the present time. Sensation. I've turned out to be a marvellous film actor, you know. I've got three companies after me already. The gas, telephone and electric. And the producer thinks I'm grand. Well, every bit of film I do, he takes it over and over and over again. You know, he likes it so much. And then he throws his hands up in the air and he says, it's unbelievable. It just shows. Why are we waiting? But I can't tell you about the film itself because it'd be, you know, kind of advertising. But Stinker and Jack Hilton are in it as well, so you can tell how good it's going to be. We've had a bit of trouble with Lewis the Goat. You know, it's very hot under the lights, but we all wear our gas masks and it works out fine. Mind you, we've had a bit of difficulty with the leading lady. Yeah, we were going to have Nausea, but she doesn't film very well. She's quite pretty, but she's so thin. She has to wear corks on her elbows, you know, but she's a lovely girl. Anyway, that's all beside the point. They're all looking half nasty at me because it's getting very near time, playmates. So I'm going to sing you this little song that I'm going to sing in this aforementioned film. You'll see it in the ninepennies one day. And it's a little thing written by my old pal Kenneth Blaine, and I entitle it A Pretty Little Bird Am I. And hang on.
My heart is like a singing bird, what wings its way from pole to pole. My heart is like a singing bird, my liver's like a leather sole. Ha ha, hee hee, oh little brown jug, don't I love thee. I sing, 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 I fly, 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 a pretty little bird, am I, ay, ay, a pretty little bird, am I. My sister's like a singing bird, her voice is like an artichoke. She fell downstairs the other day, and we all hoped her neck was broke. Ha ha, hee hee, oh little brown jug, don't I love thee. I sing, 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 I fly, 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 a pretty little bird, am I, ay, ay, a pretty little bird, am I. My father's like a singing bird, a corn gray called a raven black. He's always singing at his work, and 16 times he's had the sack. Ha ha, hee hee, oh little brown ale, don't he love thee? I sing, 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 I fly, 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 a pretty little bird, am I, 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 a pretty little bird. Mimi. My heart is like a singing bird, although I'm poor and badly fed. And when my voice is worn away, I beg my door from bread to bread. Ha ha! Oh, little brown workhouse, I love thee. I sing, 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 I fly, fly, fly. A pretty little bird, am I, I, I. I'm going to fly away. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, playmates. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, goodbye, playmates. And my pals here to say goodbye, too. That's one bandwagon near to the end of the ball. And
yeah, that's something. What I said last week. Don't you pinch my
head. I never listened
but
to
anyway, you. Playmates, we do thank you very, very much indeed. And for listening, you know. And we'll see you again next week, I hope. Bye-bye.